I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to have us here this morning, and thank you to everybody that we've already met and has made us felt very comfortable. Thank you for loving on our kids. You may have heard them scream a couple times here and there, so I'm very sorry about that. But again, just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. When it comes to China, you know, there's some things that people tend to think of sort of right off the bat, and there's people who have said to us, they've said, okay, you want to be missionaries in China. They say, don't you know that China is the most populated country in the world? And when they say that, they're absolutely right. China has close to 1.4 billion people in that one country. That number, it is four times the population of our United States of America. And they say not only is it the most populated country, they say it's a communist country. Therefore, going to do what you want to do is illegal. And so they get a hold of one of our prayer cards, and on the front of it says church planting in China. And they say planting churches in China can't be done. Now, they don't know. I've had the opportunity to spend about 8 months in China thus far. I did an internship there with some church planting missionaries and got some experience on the field. And because of the time that I've been able to spend there, I'm able to say to those people, actually, it can be done. And it has been done. And I myself have had a part in seeing it happen. Because in China, I mean, they're very right. It is illegal to do this right here. So a lot of times when it comes time to find a place where we can meet for a church, a lot of times we meet in apartments. And so we'd go out with a realtor looking for a place to meet, and we'd tell this realtor, we were looking for an apartment that's got a very large living room space. And that is actually very uncommon for Chinese apartments to have large living rooms. And so they say, why? Why do you need that? So we say, you know, we just plan on having a lot of people come over. And so we'd rent this apartment, we'd paint the walls, we'd drag chairs and set them up in rows, and we'd transform that Chinese apartment into a Chinese church building, and we'd see a lot of people come over. And then the same people, they look at us and they say, okay, if that happens, you're not going to see anybody get saved over there. They say, don't you know that the teachings of communism teach atheism? And if they're not atheists, then traditionally they're Buddhists, so you're not going to see anybody get saved. And so I say to them, actually, it can be done, and it has been done. And I myself, I've had a part in seeing it happen. Because in China, we would take the Word of God, and we'd open it to these Chinese people and show them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've seen them place their faith in Him, turning their backs on the teachings of communism, turning their backs on atheism, and some of their families just cut them off. And I've still seen them run straight forward to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the same people, they say, okay, if that happens, you're just not going to see anybody publicly declaring that faith and telling other people about it, especially in baptism. And so I say to them, actually, it can be done, and it has been done. And I myself have had a part in seeing it happen. Because sometimes we drive out to the countryside and stand in a freezing cold river on the side of a mountain and see Chinese person after Chinese person immersed into those waters. No matter how cold, just as we've seen this morning, to declare and tell others that they've placed their faith in Jesus. Or sometimes we would take a kiddie pool and we'd fill that kiddie pool up to our knees, stick that kiddie pool into the kitchen of that Chinese apartment, and I'd get to stand in those waters and baptize a young man that I just led to the Lord. The Chinese people are so excited to see their friends and their families publicly declaring their faith. And then the same people, they say, oh, okay, if that happens, I say, you're not going to see anything that will last there. And so I say to them, actually, it can be done. And right now, at this very moment, it's still being done. And I've had a part in making sure that that's able to continue. Because in China, we would take the Word of God, we'd open it to these now Chinese believers, and we'd teach them to observe the things that Jesus Christ has commanded for us. And I've seen them grow in their faith to the point that their churches have been raided by police multiple times. Some of the guys who've gotten saved in these churches and are now pastoring these churches, and some of the Chinese church members have been arrested multiple times. And yet they continue to meet week after week. More people are continuing to come to these churches, more people getting saved in these churches, and more young men in China surrendering into full-time ministry, going out to other parts of their city, starting more churches, and going to other cities in China and doing the same thing. Did you know that in the Word of God, Jesus Christ himself promised to build his church upon himself? And in the same breath, he promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. From what I've seen with my own two eyes, I've seen our Bible stand true. And that even on the other side of the world, Jesus Christ is continuing to build his church. And even in communist China, where this is illegal, even then, the gates of hell are not able to prevail against the work of our Savior. And we're so excited about what God is doing there in that country. We're excited to have a part in it. So I'd ask you all to please pray for us. So please consider supporting us. We are over 70% of our needed support. And we've just gotten back from our survey trip a few months ago. We've got plans to be able to leave for the field at the end of this year. Our God is up to something good. We cannot wait to be a part of it. At this time, we're going to show a video here. And this video follows the story of a young man that I had the opportunity to meet in China. His name is Alex. And it goes through some of the decisions that Alex had to make for his life at that time and shows what the gospel might do in the country of China. Second Chronicles chapter 32. I won't take much of your time, but we'll just look at this chapter here in these couple verses and see something that has become very close to my heart. You know, a lot of times, just honestly, there are things in life that just maybe come out of nowhere and just sort of surprise us and cause us to worry, cause us to fear. And we're going to look at one of those things here in the Bible that took place with the people of God. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. Second Chronicles 32, 7 and 8. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves on the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Let me give you some background on what's going on here in these verses. So we've got the region of Judah, and they've got a king whose name is Hezekiah. And he's a good king. They've been having these ups and downs, good king, bad king. You never know what you're going to get. But now they've got Hezekiah, and he is a great king, and he is following the Lord. Now, during his rule, there's another king from another country, from Assyria, whose name is King Sennacherib. And he is coming, and they are threatening Judah. He's come to King Hezekiah, and they've said, look, we have taken out every single nation in front of you, and you're next. And they said, we are coming for you. And in the midst of all of this, the people of Israel, they are terrified. They don't know what to do. And King Hezekiah, he steps in front of his people, and these are the words that he says. What he tells them to do, he says, do not be afraid. And he says to trust in the Lord. You see that? Let's look at those verses again. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, two things that I want us to walk away from this message getting. Number one is, do not tremble. Don't fear. No matter what is going on in your life, do not tremble. Secondly, trust in God. Do not tremble, trust in God. Now, I'm sure you've heard sort of different versions of that, or people just say, you know, kind of, don't worry, God's got it under control. But if you're like me and you're really going through something that you're just like, I mean, I don't know where this came from. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of at the end of my rope here. And you sort of express to somebody what you're going through. And they say something like this, like, don't fear, have faith. Do not tremble, trust in God. I think sometimes we almost just want to strangle that person. Because I think in our minds we just think, you know what, you have no idea. Like, you just don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what you've been through, but you're not going through this right now. So it's almost like you've got no place to say something like that. It's so passive. It's so uninvolved. But I'm living this right now. So for you to say, don't be afraid, it's almost off-putting sometimes. Because we just think, you don't get it. You don't understand. But the next time that we're going through something like that, or maybe you're going through it right now, and maybe you know in the back of your mind, God does not want us to fear, he wants us to trust him, but maybe you're just thinking, I've never dealt with anything like this before. I don't know how this plays out. I don't know what to do. The next time you think, I've got no other option but to be afraid, I want you to think of this passage that we're looking at right now. Because Israel at this time, their king and God through their king is telling them not to be afraid, telling them not to tremble. And if you've got problems, they've got problems. This is not some hypothetical situation that they're going through. This is real. This is a real army of thousands who literally has taken over every country in front of them. They destroy those nations. They take them captive. And it has happened. They've seen it happening, boom, like a domino effect, one after the other. And here they are. They've showed up at their doorstep. This is not some, you know, just made up problem. This is real. And in the midst of all of it, they're told not to be afraid. They're told not to tremble. And it is just so easy to face those situations and just think, I have to be afraid. Are you kidding me? But the next time that we feel like that, I want to remind you of a few things. when the children of Israel were set free from the country of Egypt after being enslaved for years, they're finally set free. And just as soon as they catch a break, what happens? There is a raging Red Sea in front of them. Pharaoh's armies have changed their mind and they're right behind them. They either die by drowning or they get put back in slavery, and who knows how hard that's going to be this time around. They were facing a very real problem that they could not see. I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know what God could possibly do in this situation right here, but what happens? God splits that Red Sea, and his people cross through it on dry ground. And that ground is not wet, it's not muddy ground, it is completely dry, and it was just covered in water. And God's people cross on the other side, and what happens? The army tries to follow them through, and that water comes crashing in on them, destroying their enemies, setting them free. The next time you're tempted to think to yourself, well, I must fear because God, there's nothing God could do here, I want you to remember Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who would not bow down to an idol, and because of it, they were sentenced to be thrown into a fiery furnace, whose fire was so strong that the men that were to drag them in and throw them in, those men, they dropped dead from heat exhaustion because it was so hot. And once those three men are in that fire, what happens? They look in to the fire, and they don't see three men walking around. They see four. And they said that the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And they say, bring him out. They take him out of the fire. Not a single hair on their bodies is burned. Their clothes are not burned. They don't even have the smell of smoke on them. You got problems? They had problems. Your problems are real, so are theirs. And still, God is able to do something beyond anything we could imagine, anything that we could understand. Do not tremble. Now, on the other side of that, we cannot say, do not tremble, without saying, trust in God. Trust in God. You see, what I didn't really expect when I would face these type of problems in my life, you know, I didn't know what to do, you know. You face a problem and say, I don't know how this is going to play out. But sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, things are so hard right now. But, you know, if so-and-so will just volunteer to help me out, things will be a lot better. Or, you know, if I can get an advance on my paycheck, I think things will be okay. Or, you know, if this happens, or if this person changes their attitude, or if this person will just do this. And it's easy to come up with scenarios for which we think will make us feel better and will help us. And sometimes we do that and we think, okay, I can kind of breathe now because I can see how this might play out. Let me tell you, I'm guilty of doing that so many times, and I call it guilty because that is not trusting God. That is trusting myself and things that I can understand and I can come up with. Something that I didn't tell about this story here with Hezekiah is when they heard about this army coming, the very first thing that Hezekiah does is he gets his men together and he says, hey, look, there are all these wells outside of the city. And when the army shows up, I don't want them to have any access to water, so we're going to dry those wells up. And so they do. And then some of their walls had fallen down, but they built them up. And they built new walls. And then they built towers. And then they got all these captains together. And then they built weapons. They did all of that before verses 7 and 8. So they've gotten all these things together, and when Hezekiah stands before them, he doesn't say, do not tremble, trust in God. He says, with the king of Assyria is an arm of flesh. What he does not say is, with us is dried up wells. With us are new walls, high towers, new weapons, princes and captains. He does not say that. He says, with the king of Assyria is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight for us. The next time you go through something where you think, you know, God can't be trusted. I need to come up with some other way to sort of help God out here. I want you to think about the story of David and Goliath. There is a giant and a boy. And what does David defeat this Goliath with? A sling and stones. Now, after that is done, you don't see the armies of Israel saying, okay, everybody turn in your weapons, turn in your shields, drop it all. Everybody, we're getting slings and we're getting stones because that is how we win battles. They didn't trust the sling. They didn't trust the stones. They trusted God. Everybody knew it was God who did that. When Gideon has an army that he's got to face, he has to get this army together, and God says, there's too many of them. He says, ask them who's afraid. So Gideon says, if you're afraid, you can go home. Thousands of them, just like that, gone. And then God says, there's still too many. He says, ask them to drink. If they dunk their head in the water, they got to go home. And they drink it. And, I mean, hundreds of them go home. And they're down to an army of 300. Now, the Bible does not say that Gideon said, you know what, this is okay because I've got 300 of the bravest. I've got 300 of the wisest and smartest. We can do this now. No. They did not trust in that army. They trusted in God. And in this story with King Hezekiah, what happens is that the army of Assyria does not even make it to their walls. Because before any of that can happen, God sends an angel into that camp and starts killing them off. That army is destroyed and they run in fear because God knows how to take care of his people. So the next time that you think, I'm going through something that I don't get and it is scary and I don't know what to do, not just coming from my experience, but coming from the truth of the word of our God, I say to you, do not tremble. Trust in God. You may not understand. You cannot see a way out. And you think, I'm the only one who's going through something like this. But God's people have always gone through things that nobody can understand. But the blessing is that we have a God whose ways are higher than our ways. He can do what we cannot even imagine. Do not tremble. Trust in God. As Pastor makes his way here, let's have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes. This morning...